If we page through commentary online, we find that light in the Nutcracker Ballet is often interpreted as a symbol of awakening, transformation, and the boundary between the ordinary and the magical. Some discussions note that the moment the Christmas tree begins to glow or expand is a key visual cue of transition. Writers often describe this as the point where Clara's perception shifts from the domestic world to the dream realm. Reviews of major productions like the New York City Ballet and the Royal Ballet frequently emphasize how lighting design marks the boundary between reality and fantasy, especially during the battle scene and the journey to the land of snow. And scholars analyzing Tchaikovsky's score point out that the orchestration during these transitions mirrors the visual brightening on stage, reinforcing the sense of awakening. The snow scene seems to be one of the most discussed lighting moments in ballet scholarship. Writers describe the scene's cool, crystalline light as representing purity, transformation, and even the sublime. The falling snow catching the stage lights is often interpreted as a visual metaphor for inner illumination or Clara's emotional expansion. In the Land of the Sweets, designers frequently use radiant, jewel-like lighting to emphasize the fantastical nature of the realm. Some academic analysis interprets the ballet's lighting as a representation of Clara's internal development, the shift from warm to cold, to radiant light parallels her movement from childhood through and to fear, through wonder to maturity. The Nutcracker Prince is even described sometimes as a guiding light feature. For 50 years, Ballet Theatre of Scranton has taken audiences on the wondrous journey with Clara, first under the artistic direction of founder Constance Reynolds. Over the years, Miss Reynolds entrusted the company to the talents and vision of her student, Joanne Arduino, who actually danced in that very first Nutcracker production. The fall 2025 Nutcracker was a truly special occasion, and now, to round out the 50th anniversary season, Ballet Theatre of Scranton will present the Nutcracker in an original version with a whole new framework. The piece is titled Crack Nut, and Joanne Arduino conceived the scenario and prepared the choreography in a way that is true to the spirit of the Nutcracker we experience each Christmas season. But it's fresh and fun and filled with light. Light provided by Emmy Award winner Dennis Size, the company's resident lighting designer. Crack Nut will have its premiere this Friday, May 8th, at the Theater at North in Scranton, and Joanne Arduino paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the anniversary and this special production.
50 years is true as a gift to the community. And this past November, we did our traditional Nutcracker. We do 6 performances for the public and, of course, educational performances. And about 25 years ago, Erica, I had this thought, and it was an untraditional Nutcracker. And when I put it out to the board, they said, well, I don't know if this is the year for it. And I guess I had it in the back of my brain for all those years. So when we hit our 50th, I thought, well, we're still going to do the traditional version in November, but why not celebrate the whole year? I mean, 50 years is a big milestone for us. So out of the back of my brain kept coming the cracked nut, the cracked nut. And I've always enjoyed Glenn Miller's versions of Nutcracker, the Glenn Miller Orchestra, as well as Pentatonix has a beautiful version that they do of the Sugar Plum Fairy variation, and Brian Setzer Orchestra and Duke Ellington's Orchestra. So they all had swing versions of Nutcracker. And so I decided that that was going to be what we were going to do. And it begins as a party. I use some things that are traditional. I morph the music into each other and it works. I use some of the traditional Tchaikovsky traditional score. And then I also use some of the swing dance pieces. And it starts in a swing dance hall in New York City in the 1940s. And the woman is Claire and the man is James. And she sort of is enamored of him because he asks her to dance. And then she gets, as a gift from her friends, a nutcracker that's dressed as a 1940s soldier. And he breaks, of course. And then James comes to her rescue and fixes him, the Nutcracker. And then, so right there, there's a little love interest. And so then she fantasizes, as the clock strikes 12, she fantasizes that she is under the bridges of the Bronx in New York City, and the sewer rats come out. And the sewer rats do a tap dance duel with the soldiers who are dressed as the 1940s Green Army soldiers. And at the end, Claire puts on these socks that have taps on them, and she does a tap step to distract the Rat King that allows the Nutcracker to save himself and injures a little bit the Rat King. And so then, as is tradition in the story, the Nutcracker, who was James, takes her on a journey. And the journey, usually he goes to the land of the snow and then the kingdom of the sweets. So what I've done this year is he takes her to the land of the bubbles. And we have bubble machines, and the dancers are in tutus that have iridescent bottoms that are rolled under that look like bubbles. And then he takes her to Coney Island, to the boardwalk at Coney Island. And there we have candy apples. We have the cotton candy waltz, which is the waltz of the flowers done in a swing version. We have the pentatonic sugar plum fairy variation, which is the sugar cookie. We have caramel corn. We have gumballs. We have gelato. What's wonderful, Erica, about this is I always enjoyed the creativeness of the team we have at Ballet Theater. And we get to collaborate a lot, and we're all open to new ideas. And so some people that have done props and scenery for us in the past, Joe Nish and Chris Yevitz, said, well, you're going to have gumballs. Why don't we turn the Mother Ginger that we have into a gumball machine? And we're going to put a sliding board in it. And the dancers can come out of the gumball machine down the slide like they're gumballs and dance onto the stage. So that is being transformed. And then my dear friend Dennis Size, who's our wonderful lighting designer, when he saw the battle scene, he said, well, wait a minute. We decided to put LED gloves on the rats, and on the helmets of the soldiers, LED lights like miners' lights. And so when they move, the lights go all over the stage. And at some points when it's just the Nutcracker and the Rat King battling, all of their lights from their fingers and from their heads are focused directly on those two while they're having their battle. So it makes it even more interesting visually.
You have always said that Dennis Size, who is someone who works for ABC and all kinds of top flight organizations, he must have been tickled because you say he likes to come here and play.
He does. And so when I was thinking of doing this, I always ask his opinion, and I called and I said, what do you think about this idea? He said, you should go for it. This is great. And so then his wheels started to turn, and that's when he said, you have to do the lights, and we have mirrored balls in the dance hall. And so the theme of the light is being carried through, because the mirrored balls in the beginning, and then the lights during the battle scene, and then in the bubble scene, the backdrop is all shimmer. It's silver shimmer. So that theme is being carried through.
What about the dancers, the young dancers, who probably have not had any experience directly with swing dancing? Are you teaching them to swing dance?
Yes. And also, they're doing some point work, some of the lead dancers. So it's swing dance, but on point. So it's a ballet version of swing dance. But some of them are on heels, but the main dancers are in point shoes. So they're having a really good time of it. They're enjoying it and having fun. And I have to say, everybody that's seen it, you just come out with a smile on your face.
Let's go back to you and originating a piece like this and bring it to life. Talk to us about your mentors and how that experience with Henry Danton and Constance Reynolds, those people whom you, I'm sure, look up to. What did you learn about this process?
Well, they are, of course, very special people to me, and I'm very fortunate to have had them in my life. They, of course, taught me about traditions and the traditional ballets, but they were always open to new ideas. And I remember during the whole strife in Poland, Mrs. Reynolds did a beautiful piece to the Warsaw Concerto. And it was very contemporary for her and very before her time. And I remember that she was just open to new ideas. And then, of course, Henry Danton would always be very supportive of my ideas and would always tell me of things that he had seen. In fact, I'm hoping to go to London next summer. He had told me about Swan Lake that they do in the round at Royal Albert Hall. And there's 64 swans. And he told me it was absolutely incredible. And they're bringing that piece back to London next summer. So he was open to new thoughts also. So just having them both in my life and seeing how they worked and how open they were to new thoughts, it has really been a blessing.
Remind us, as if we need to be told, about the place of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker in the life of dancers everywhere. so many dancers fall in love with ballet because of that dance.
I think many dancers, it's their first experience. And Nutcracker is so popular. The music is popular. The story is easy to understand. So the audiences are drawn to it. And so a lot of dancers, it's their first experience, and they fall in love with ballet from there.
You told us before the November performances about Ballet Theatre's first or opening. You were in the first.
I was. In 1976, that's when Mrs. Reynolds had the dream to give this as a gift to our community, and that it has lasted as a gift for 50 years. I'm very proud that we have been able to do that, and it's because of the sponsors and the community support that we've been able to do that. And it's just a special time for us. Nutcracker is always a special time of year for us, so I'm glad we're celebrating this at this point.
To follow up, most companies rely on Nutcracker as their way to make enough money to get through a season, but you have been able to, through the vision of Constance Reynolds and your persistence and vision, to open your performances to the community without charge.
It hasn't always been easy. It still is not, because as you say, it is the biggest money maker for all ballet companies, because as I had just said, it's what audiences are familiar with. It's an easy story. It's happening at the holiday season, so it's perfect for people to go to the production. But Mrs. Reynolds' dream was to give it to the people who couldn't afford to experience it. And for many, it's the first time they've ever seen a live performance of any kind of theater, but especially ballet. And I mean, when you see the faces of the children that come out, and you know that if you have touched them in some way, that that will carry through in their life. So we need to touch the children.
We will be enchanted when we leave the performance. Is there a message to the original Nutcracker? Is there a message to this in terms of the importance of love and dreaming and imagination and growing up, those sorts of things?
Absolutely. Hope, love.
And how perfect that you were able to find a time period where you could have soldiers and you could have sewer rats in New York and that sort of thing. You were able to find a situation and a context that made it a nice match.
Well, and especially at this time in our world, there are so many things that are depressing and worrisome. It's an escape. And it's nice to come and see something that's and hear something that's enlightening and leave with a good feeling. And I know I talked to a staff member the other day, and it's not just one staff member, a few of them. And when things in your life, you have some troubles or you have some worries, when you come into the studio or you come to the arts, you lose yourself in them. And it's really feeding your soul.
And what you've described for us, we're on the radio, so we can't see it, but it sounds like the stage will be filled with color.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the costumers that we have a gentleman who came back. He was a designer for Priscilla of Boston, and he was a teacher in Massachusetts at one of the colleges there in costume design. And he has come back to the area because his family is from here, Bruce Kozar, and he has joined our staff. And the costumes are a little avant-garde for us, too, because they're not the traditional ballet costumes. There's some unitards with paint on them. We have, in the second act, we have taffy. And taffy is a pas-de-deux done with a huge elastic. And the elastic balances and counterbalances the dancers.
But it is a whole, obviously. It's not just little vignettes.
Well, the second act, as usual, the Kingdom of the Sweets, are different variations. So that's the same for us in Coney Island. So all those candy apples, cotton candy, caramel corn, taffy, they're all the variations of second act, yeah. Coney Island.
Where do we wind up when we've been to Coney Island? Is it a spoiler?
Oh, no. Actually, I wanted to keep some things that were in our traditional Nutcracker. So at the end, as she is in Coney Island, she starts to go backwards through her adventures. So the people in Coney Island leave her, and then she sees the people from the bubble ballet, and then she sees the people in the battle scene, and then she sees the people in the dance hall, and she's finally left with her Nutcracker prince, who is really James, and he moves away from her, and she is left embracing the Nutcracker doll that she was originally given. And the last vision you see is what we do in our traditional Nutcracker. Claire, in this version, and Clara, in our traditional version, are center stage in a follow spot in a special, and she is just embracing that Nutcracker doll with her cheek next to the doll's, her face next to the doll, and the follow spot just zooms in on her face, and that's the last vision you see. So we kept that the same.
Everybody wants to dance the Sugar Plum Fairy. Is your version of the Sugar Plum Fairy that kind of piece where, yes, I've got to do that someday?
The version of the Sugar Plum Fairy is the Sugar Cookie, and that is danced by a girl who is at Abington Heights High School. She's a senior, and her name is Gia Vecchino. And she actually came to me and said, that variation is one of the hardest I've ever done. And she does it beautifully. And another woman who was the Sugar Plum Fairy and was a professional dancer came to me. She's on our staff. And she said, I think that variation is harder than the original variation. But they've all risen to the challenge. Now, Gia, who is the Sugar Cookie, she's multi-talented. She is a champion swimmer. And she's gone to states. She's multi-talented, as are many of them. The young man who is dancing Caramel Corn, he and the Rat King, he is also. He's a wonderful actor, and he just got into a prestigious school in the Midwest. They only select 15 people in the United States, and he was just selected. He's a junior in Abington Heights High School. So I'm proud of all of them. They really work hard. And I always say the dancers, they are always committed, they're disciplined, so everybody wants to work with them. Even the track coaches, they want the dancers because they're so agile and they can leap and they're fast and they take direction well. So they're the ones that are always, you know, track the theater people, of course, the music people, they're involved in all of those things.
Just because of the nature of something that is a first-time performance, did you have to do anything differently with the rehearsal schedule more, or would it be like preparing Cinderella?
For me, it was much more time-intensive because I had to see how I was going to use the music from both versions and make it blend so it worked, and then think of the choreography and how I wanted that to work as well, and the whole storyline because it's different. I mean, it's similar, but it is different.
So you were at your desk or something or burning?
I was. Headphones, yes.
Now give us the particulars. Where we find you, when?
Well, I hope everybody joins us because we want everybody to come and have a smile on their face and their toes tapping when they leave the theater. It is at the Theater at North on Main Avenue in Scranton. It is Friday, May the 8th at 7:30 p.m. And there are tickets available at the box office at the theater, or you can go to the Theater at North website, and they have the link to tickets for that. Or you could call Ballet Theater of Scranton at 347-2867.
Joanne Arduino, Artistic Director of Ballet Theater of Scranton, speaking with us about the 50th anniversary Nutcracker season, continuing with an original production titled The Cracknut. And that will have its premiere this Friday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the Theater at North, Main Avenue in Scranton, including music like this. It's set in the 1940s in New York City. It is a retelling following Claire rather than Clara, from a lively dance hall party to a daring duel beneath the city bridges, then onward with her prince to a dazzling dreamscape of bubbles and wonder that ends in Coney Island. For more information on the web, balletscranton.org, balletscranton.org. That's The Cracknut, an original reimagining of Tchaikovsky's holiday classic, The Nutcracker Ballet, a production by Joanne Arduino, conceived, choreographed, and brought together by the Artistic Director of Ballet Theater of Scranton. For more information, balletscranton.org. It's this Friday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m., the Theater at North, Main Avenue in Scranton.